I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Holy Hour of Power of the Lord. Jim, my name is Jesse Romero, the Latin lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Latin lover of our Lady.
And I'm fired up. My name's Terry Barber, the Lebanese lover of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Lebanese lover of our Lady, and I'm honored to be here to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
We're reporting for duty, sir.
Amen,
and we're
brother.
Like a lighthouse amidst the gathering storm, and we want to pray America
great
again.
Amen, brother.
Yep. We're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Let's get down to some soul food, Terry.
Amen. Soul food is right. That's what we do every single day. This is the gospel today's from Luke for the daily mass. It's short but powerful. Just Luke chapter 9, verse 7 to 9.
Luke, the Greek physician, writes the following under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He took most of his information from the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. Paul.
That's right. It's
Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening. Now, Herod was a wicked king, by the way. He was his name was Herod Antipas. He was the ruler of Galilee from about 4 BC to about 39 AD. And he's the one that had John the Baptist killed. It says here. And he was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been raised from the dead. Others were saying, Elijah has appeared. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
He's fascinated with Jesus.
Yeah, curiosity, huh?
Yep. I mean, he just had John killed. But he is fascinated with Jesus. I mean, he's the one that sent John the Baptist to heaven. That's what happens when you get martyred. You go straight to heaven. That's called red martyrdom. But notice the way it says there that Herod, he sought to see him, the very last sentence. What does this mean? Well, there was rumors that were circulating that Jesus was a resurrected prophet from the Old Testament, or that Jesus was, you know, maybe even John the Baptist come back to life, or that Jesus was Elijah, or another Old Testament figure come back to life. But he's none of those. Jesus is the unique divine Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. We don't believe in reincarnation.
Nope.
That's not Catholicism. That's not even Judaism. We don't believe that a person comes back in another person's body and soul. Herod is conflating paganism with Christianity. But Herod, the last verse there, it indicates that he had this desire to meet Jesus because he was intrigued by him, and that he didn't meet Jesus until the mock trial.
That's right.
So what's the takeaway? I'll say, thanks be to God that you and I have met Jesus.
Amen.
And you can meet him every day in prayer, and you can meet him every day in the Holy Eucharist by going to daily mass. That's my takeaway.
And I might also add, in spite of scandal in the church, don't use this as an excuse for not meeting Jesus. And I use Bishop Sheen's quote today to show the power of prayer. Let's bring Bishop Sheen into the room, Mr. Engineer. Hang on, we're going to bring that choo-choo train in.
I think he's jogging into the studio. He's jogging, Derek.
All right, well, here's what the Fulton Sheen has to say. He says this, the cloistered men and women are doing more for our country than all of its politicians, its labor leaders, its army and navy put together. They were atoning for the sins of us all. They were averting the just wrath of God, repairing the broken fences of those who sin and pray not, rebel and atone not. And as 10 just men would have saved Sodom and Gomorrah, so 10 just saints can save a nation now. Jesse, I bring this up because, let's face it right now, we have sinners in our church, big time sinners. We've got orgies going on in the Vatican. I mean, this is the facts. I mean, it's hard for me to have to say it, but it's the fact. So what's the response from us? Holiness. We have to be saints. And so don't let the scandals disturb you in your faith, because we're going to talk about some of these scandals that are going to be taking place even just next week in Rome. But the bottom line is what Fulton Sheen is saying. We're called the universal call to holiness, which is the Second Vatican Council's call. And I always like to quote Pope Pius X with this comment from Sheen.
By the way, one of the greatest popes in 2,000 years. I can't say enough about
him. Why I keep quoting him. I mean, I quote him right with Sheen.
Yeah, we need another St. Pius X. There's two popes that we need right now. Another St. Pius V.
Yeah.
And another St. Pius X.
Well, I'm gonna interrupt you, Jess, and say the man that can be the next Pope Pius X is Cardinal Seurat, because we're going to be talking later in the show about his book, and we will be talking.
I would agree with you
about this.
I agree
this.
That
yeah.
he would be.
Yeah, he would.
He could be the next Pius X.
Yep. Well, here's what Pius X said, and this is why when people say Terry, Jesse, you're being judgmental when you say active homosexuality is against the commandments. Well, here's what Pope Pius X said. While Jesus was kind to sinners, he did not respect their false ideas. He loved them all, but also instructed them in order to convert them and to save them. Jesse, you know what I think is false compassion? When they say, we just want to accompany people who have same-sex attraction and they are active homosexuals. Let's not tell them the truth about the gospel. Let's just make them feel comfortable. Hey, you know what, Jesse? They're making them comfortable on the way to hell because they're letting them wallow in their sin. And that's not what we can do. Jess, I'm sorry, I get a lot, but I got some good news stories before we get into our content.
When you share the good news stories, I just want to talk about the saints of the day, St. Cosmas.
Let's talk about the physicians. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah. Today, in the Catholic Church, we're like we're a worldwide family that's been around for 2,000 years. So we have a lot of birthdays in the Catholic Church. Today's birthday is the birthday of, we celebrate the day that they were martyred and went to heaven. They went to their eternal, their exit interview. And when you die a martyr, you go straight to heaven. Jesus says, hey, come on in. St. Cosmas and St. Damian, they were executed in the city of Cyrus in Syria about 303 AD during the persecution under a wicked emperor by the name of Diocletian. He was right before Emperor Constantine. Wicked man. There's other facts about their lives of Cosmas and Damian that we're not sure, but there's an early legend that suggests that they were twin brothers in Arabia who became skilled physicians. And so as Christian doctors, according to the legend, they charged no fees
Zero.
Of those they healed or cared Nada. For. Did you get that?
Yep.
And they were thus called the holy moneyless ones.
I know.
Holy moneyless doctors. And along with St. Luke, the beloved physician mentioned by St. Paul in Colossians 4:14, Dr. Cosmas and Dr. Damian are considered the patron saint of physicians. And within a century of their deaths, of their martyrdom of Cosmas and Damian, their fame had spread more widely than that of most of the martyrs. And perhaps as early as the 6th century, their names were added to the Roman canon in Eucharistic prayer number 1 used at Holy Mass. So what do we say? St. Cosmas and St. Damian, pray for us.
And unknown that a lot of people don't realize there were 3 other brothers they had that also died as martyrs. But there were so many martyrs, Jesse, I think the reason we remember them is because they were physicians and they didn't charge. I think that's what really set them apart also from all the other martyrs.
Yep.
Okay, a great story. Hey, good news story. Another Texas town passes abortion ban, becomes a sanctuary for the unborn. Jess, this is only the 5th town in America, but more and more are coming down. So, you know what? God bless Texas. Hey, another good news story. Largest ever 40 Days for Life campaign spreads to 500-plus communities. And here's the kicker, more than 30 countries. Jesse, when we get the report at the beginning of November, there'll be over 1,000 or 2 babies that were saved because people were at the abortion clinic praying their rosary, reading their scriptures. Their presence will actually stop the killing of unborn babies. So let's get involved with that. And Jesse, I know I'm going to be a little political, but I don't care. This is good news. I watched it. President Trump spoke to the UN and said, no global right to abortion. You know, Jesse, I've seen popes, I've seen bishops, I've seen clergymen come to the United Nations, and they never have said that. And I waited 8 years for President Obama to, no, I'm joking. He never would say this. And then you got a playboy who becomes a president of the United States and somehow has a metanoia, in my opinion, a conversion, and says, you know what? Abortion's wrong, and I'm going to do everything in my power to stop it. And I thought, boy, did I vote the right way, you know, a couple years ago for President Trump. And can I just say something? The Johnson bill is no longer a valid thing. So when people say, you can't tell me how to
never
vote,
been
you're
enforced.
Not. Exactly. But Trump got rid of it. So here's what I say. The next election, who else other than Trump is there to vote for with the pro-life of our children? No one that I know of. So let me
nobody
just,
even close.
Let me just say this, Jesse. All of us Christians, Catholics, who have goodwill, you got to vote for President Trump in 2 or 2 years from now when we have our election. Because all the other guys on the other side and women, they're all for killing unborn babies. And you know what? That's just not acceptable. So what am I saying, Jess? We only have one choice. Jess, correct me if I'm wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah. And by the way, Terry, the Democrats at this point, they're not only abortion, pro-abortion, all 9 months.
Yeah.
We also know because of David DeLayden,
they've
been selling, and they're covering up for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Planned Parenthood has been cutting up babies and selling body parts for years.
That's right.
What else do we know? We know that there's at least a dozen Democrat governors and many politicians that want to move now into infanticide.
They sure do.
To allow women to decide to kill their baby after it's born. Terry, this is the civil rights issue of our day. Let me tell you, President Donald Trump called off the United Nations for promoting abortion. He spoke more apostolic, I hate to say, than many of the people that I've ever seen speaking to the UN with Roman collars and mitres.
Just the facts, Jesse. When we come back, we'll talk about the deck being stacked on the Senate. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
Jesus said in Luke 17, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty. According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Have you ever noticed in the Bible, Jesus Christ says those on the left will be damned, and those on the right will be saved. I mean, I'm just telling you what Jesus says in Matthew 25:41. Don't you?
I want to be on the right, with yes. me. I want to be on the right, brother.
I mean, even in the Old Testament, it says the same thing about being on the right. It says this, Ecclesiastes 10:2. It says this, a wise man's heart inclines him towards the right, but a foolish man's heart towards the left. The Old and New Testament. Why do I say that? Terry, the Amazon Synod that's being funded by the German bishops, the German corrupt bishops, most of them are corrupt, not all of them. Yeah. I can't overgeneralize. Most of them are corrupt. They're packing the participants the deck, list with leftists.
That's right.
Just leftists, facts. Liberal theologian, liberation, you know, Marxist theologians, LGBT advocates,
that's right.
Environmentalists. Let me tell you the list of people that are going to run the synod funded by the Germans, and then they want to make this universal in the Catholic Church. Here's the dirty dozen. Cardinal Lorenzo Baldessari. Yeah. Okay? He used his position.
He's the secretary of, in general of it, Jess. Just maybe what his position is too.
Yeah, he's also served as the synod president.
Yep.
He's going to serve as the Secretary General. Mm-hmm. General, he's cooperated with the Vatican's homosexual network. He's used his position as a lead organizer on the family synods back in 2014-15 to push Holy Communion for the divorced and remarried.
That's right.
As well as the liberalization of church teaching on homosexuality. Terry, there's 15 guys that are on the list.
Oh, yeah.
If we go through all of them are leftists. These are the ones that are going to be running the Amazon Synod. And all I can tell you is that the barbarians are not, they're not pounding the city doors. They're inside the city gates right now.
Well,
and they're running the show.
And that's why Pope Paul VI said it back in the 70s. The smoke of Satan has entered the church. And you say, well, why do you say smoke of Satan? Jesse, let's just be honest about this. The men that are at that Senate that are there have been dissenters. They've rejected what Christ taught on marriage. They've rejected things on Holy Communion, the Mass. They've been dissenters. And so who was the first dissenter? I'll tell you who his name is. Satan.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's why I'm saying that these men they're collaborating with Satan. They're not collaborating with Christ. And that's why I'm encouraging everyone to be praying for this. That's why on the 28th of this month, every night at the Sacred Heart Chapel, we're going to be praying a holy hour of reparation, of novena, of rosaries for the synod. Now, tonight, every Thursday night, we show up at 7 p.m. for 2 hours of reparation on our knees, praying before the Blessed Sacrament, asking God's mercy upon our church, for our leaders, the Pope, the bishops, the priests, because Holy Thursday is the day the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood. So why am I saying, hey, it's easy to complain, right, everybody? But let's put our actions in our spiritual life to become saints and make reparation for this, what I'm going to call, Jesse, it's scandalous event that's going to take place next week.
Yep. Jesus Christ called a lot of leaders in his time. In Matthew 7:15, he called them wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yep.
And then he also said, beware, in the future, you're going to have wolves in sheep's clothing. We're seeing it right now.
Absolutely.
And you have to remember, when you read the Bible, when you read the Old Testament, in order to understand the Old Testament, every time you look at the word Israel, that's also a projection that anticipates, that prefigures the new Israel,
that's right.
which is the Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is the new Israel of God. All you have to do is track the history of Old Testament Israel, and you'll see that the history of New Testament Israel, the Roman Catholic Church, is much the same. You have bad shepherds in certain ages. You have bad leaders. You have false prophets. You have wicked prelates. Just like Old Testament Israel, the more things change, the more things stay the same. But we know who wins at the end, and once again, that's why we're called, Jesus Christ says, follow the narrow path.
You got it.
The wide path is following all these dissenters, these modernists, these progressives that are trying to change 2,000 years of Catholic teaching. That's how you can tell when somebody's a modernist. You want to know the sniff test? When God has said something and every pope after that has affirmed it and defended it, and then all of a sudden you have a novel teaching, That's the definition of a wolf in sheep's clothing, a modernist. And that's right now, that's the fight that we're battling right now, Terry.
You got it. And Jesse, let me give you the fruit of this kind of modernist. You know, you mentioned the German church is funding this. Well, I'm going to back up just for a minute. I have an article here about the Germans' vanishing monasteries. You see, the church in Germany is dying. Not just the lay people numbers. They're not being Catholic. They're leaving a couple hundred thousand a year. The German monasteries are, you know what they're being turned into? Sad. Restaurants, tourist attractions, because they're not getting new recruitments.
Thorin houses.
Yeah, why aren't they getting new recruitments? Mr. Engineer, my headset's failing again. I'm going to let him know that. Jesse, the bottom line is this article points out of monasteries, even in the just last 30 years, where guys had 80 guys at the monastery and they're down to 20, and most of them are in their 60s and 70s. See, this is the fruit of modernism.
Yes.
The church is dying. But you know what I've noticed, Jess? The religious orders that are growing, every single one of them I see, I have them right here in my backyard in Covina, the Mother Lily's group. They're stacked with all kinds of traditional habits with the nuns, and they're growing. So I'm confident that these modernists, they just don't reproduce, Jess. Their time is limited.
Terry, and I've read another article that right now one of the fastest growing groups in the priestly orders is the FSSP and the Institute, what's it called? The Institute for Christ the King.
Christ the King, yeah.
Both of them.
Traditional.
Both of them are traditional Latin Mass.
That's right.
Orders.
Yep.
And they have the most seminarians right now of any seminary around the world.
Yes, yeah.
So, I mean, Terry, people want
the real McCoy,
as we say, the mystery of our faith.
Exactly.
People know that there's something mystical and transcendental about the holy sacrifice of the Mass that God left us, and we experienced that for centuries and centuries. And now, these modernists knew exactly what they were doing. They said, okay, we can't destroy the Mass because it's pretty much fixed, the canon of the Mass.
Yeah.
But we can modify it. We can move the furniture around, and we can rearrange the deck chairs, and we can try to at least horizontalize it to the best of our ability, instead of keeping it vertical like it's been for 1,500 years. This worship of God is giving me modernist or Christianity. It's giving me a headache. We gotta make this more horizontal. Make it more people friendly, and so they've done a good job.
Well,
of taking
that
out the transcendental and the mystical.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be talking about in the next two segments.
Yeah, with Cardinal Seurat.
About the Cardinal Seurat, he's saying this is what people want. They want the transcendental. They want the mystical. They don't want this dialogue Mass. You know, they don't want, you know, Mrs. Ferguson, Mrs. O'Connor, Mrs. Garcia to pump the Purell and run into the sanctuary and run behind the priest with a key in their pocket and open the tabernacle and grab the sacred host like if they're Oreo cookies and put them in their own ciborium. That sickens me, Terry,
yes,
when
me
I
too.
See that stuff. And, I think Cardinal Seurat, again, once...
He's going to lay it all out in his
He's
book.
Got the answer to the mess that we're in right now. It's the Eucharist. All this that's happening in Germany, all this Amazonian Synod, you know what it is? It's a crisis of faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That's why we have leftists in the Catholic Church.
Jesse, you just quoted paragraphs, page 16 of his book. I mean, it's in the book. He says the same thing. And some of the things that we're going to quote, Jesse, I think I laughed at you before the show. And I said, this sounds like Jesse Romero power preaching, and it's Cardinal Seurat. So I want to just mention in France, just to back up your statement, Jess, and your statement about the transcendental of the vertical aspect of the Mass. In France, the Fraternity of St. Peter, half of the ordinations of the whole country are for the Fraternity of St. Peter. And they're just a small group. Well, what does that tell you? Jesse, I mean, is this microphone on? Of course it tells us that people want that. Now, my phone is going nuts right now. People texting me say, yeah, man, preach it. Well, you know what? Jesse and I can't lose our faculties, okay? Meaning we're not deacons or priests. So we can say things. When you say, why can't our priests say this? Because many of them, Jesse, would lose their faculties to say what we say. And I just want to say it as clear as I can in charity. Why do we do this? Because we love souls. We love people. We want to get them to heaven. And modernism, will not get you to heaven. What modernism will do is take you into the world, and the world has nothing to offer us. That's what the Bible says. We need Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and we need to go back to the fundamentals of the faith. That's what's going to save us, not compromise.
Terry, I like when you always mention what St. Paul says about, we preach Christ crucified, which is folly to the Jews and absurdity to the Gentiles. You know what that basically means when Terry says that all the time, quoting St. Paul?
Yeah.
It means people think, I don't need this Jesus guy who died for my sins. Oh my. You know what they have? They have starophobia.
Yep.
Fear of the cross. You know why they reject Jesus? And that's why St. Paul says, I preach Christ crucified. He wanted people to know, guess what? You're a sinner. That's why the Son of God did this. And guess what? That also means that you're going to have to make reparation and penance for your sins and for the sins of the world. How? By carrying your cross. That means you're going to embrace a life of suffering as well. People don't like that. Liberals don't like that. Dissenters don't like that. They don't like the cross. They hate starophobia, Terry. They have a phobia of suffering. And so, again, they're just trying to change the church according to the spirit of this age, which is basically, if it feels good, do it. They want a feel-good church, and guess what? Their experiment has failed in the last 60 years.
Jesse, Cardinal Seurat would agree with you, because on page 36, he says, yes, a true reform is necessary in the church, which must make the cross central again. We do not have to make the church acceptable according to the world's criteria. We have to purify her so she can present to the world the cross in all of its nakedness. Jess, this is what this book is all about, is a renewal of the church and how to do it. And he's going right back to the fundamentals. And I'm just going to say it right now. We're going to cover this book for months, because this book is really inspirational for you, for me, to deal with the persecution right now that's going on in the church from within. Yeah, I'm going to call it persecution, Jesse, when we can't get our priests and bishops to proclaim the teachings of the church, because canon law requires that we have a right for this. So if you think I'm pushing the wrong buttons, no, I have stand on solid ground. I have a right that my pastor, my bishop, every priest has an obligation to preach what Holy Mother Church teaches, not their personal opinion. And when we come back from the break, we're going to cover this article from the National Catholic Register
Let me quote one sentence here from this last article on the way that Germany's imploding. Just one sentence you go.
Yeah, go ahead.
It says, Sister Turnus has long ago given up her veil. She said this, otherwise I hear so badly, she says, when there's no priest who can lead Mass in the Abbey, the Superior General, Sister Turnus, leads the service.
Oh, yeah.
Is this microphone on?
No, that's what's going on in Germany. So, hey, Germany, you're dying. Return to Christ and live. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. It's a very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
Hi, this is Eddie Chavez, host of Jesus 911. I want to take this opportunity to let you, our listeners, know about an event being held here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina. We will be celebrating the Feast of St. Michael the Archangel on September 28th, 2019, beginning at 9 o'clock with Mass in the morning and talks to follow. Ruben Nava and myself will be speaking. So come and hear us talk about St. Michael and Our Lady. Come join us. We'll see you there.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God, this is the Lord's gym. His pain is our gain.
You got it.
But you know what? Jesus Christ, as Dr. Scott Hahn says, he didn't die on the cross so we won't have to. No, no, no. He died on the cross and suffered to show us how to. And this is what liberals don't understand. They want this feel-good church, but Cardinal Seurat, in this article and in the book that he wrote, he's talking to us about what authentic Catholicism is, and it's not a feel-good church. And he says we have to return to the sacred because the church has lost its sense of the sacred. Here's one paragraph. I'll throw it to Terry. I just want, he says this. He says that the current crisis in the church and society, he goes, he believes it is driven primarily by atheism. By the way, Vatican II agrees with him. Vatican II says atheism is the biggest problem in the third millennium. Right in the dot. He says, not placing God at the center of our lives, as well as a prevailing wish to impose personal opinion as truth. Boy, oh boy, is that a problem. He says, those who announce revolutions and radical changes, he warns, are false prophets. They're not looking out for the good of the flock. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, respectfully, I'm going to say very respectfully, he's just talked about the present management at the Vatican right now. That's what he did right there.
Oh, yeah.
He dog whistled all of us.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what he did. He's referring to the present management right now at the Vatican. Let's not act dumb, and let's not act like we don't know who he's talking about. And then here, I'll flip it over to Terry. This part of paragraph is powerful. He says that there's false prophets and they're not looking out for our good.
You think?
Terry, I mean, here's a fact. This is Akita Japan's prophecy coming to life.
Big time.
One cardinal calling other cardinals false prophets. Terry?
Jesse, on page 19, and you can read the article from the Register, but I'm into this book big time, and it's giving me great solace and give me great hope for the church. He says, dear friends, your pastors are full of faults and imperfections, but despising them is not the way to build church unity. Do not be afraid to demand of them the Catholic faith, which we just did, the sacraments of divine life. Remember, he said the words of St. Augustine, let Peter baptize, this is the one Jesus who baptizes. Let Judas baptize, this is the one who baptizes. See, he says the most unworthy priest of all is still the instrument of divine grace when he celebrates the sacraments. This is what St. Thomas teaches. He says, see how much God loves us. He consents to handing over his Eucharistic body into the sacrilegious hands of the most miserable priest. And here's the advice that the cardinal gives us, and this is really powerful advice. If you think your priests and bishops are not saints, which I happen to agree, then be one for them. So I have to be a saint. He says, do penance, fast, to make reparation for their defects and their, here's the word, cowardness. This is the only way that anyone can bear another one's burden. Jesse, he's calling them out, and I'm happy that someone on the inside is speaking up rather than just saying, well, I can't speak up. He's speaking in this book like a prophet, from what I could tell, Jess.
And I feel bad for him because, boy, oh boy, is he outnumbered. Is he outnumbered?
Yeah.
I can imagine when he goes to work.
Yeah.
I mean, the looks that he gets, that, you know, about a hostile work environment.
Yeah, you think?
In his book, he says that the reason he wrote the book, he says it's a cry from my heart
as
a priest and a pastor.
What a
so he's not writing this to be a debater, polemical, controversial, stir the pot. He goes, no, I'm writing this from my heart.
Yep.
As a Catholic priest and as a pastor. And he also says, this is something powerful for, you know, people that have a love for the Latin. I have a love for the Latin Mass, but I won't say that I go to the Latin Mass every Sunday. I go like once a month. Ruben, Matt, a lot of people that work with us, you know, they're devotees of the Latin Mass, and I have nothing but respect for them. You know, Ed Mazza.
Sure.
Here's what he said about the Latin Mass. He said that, he says, discussing the positive and negative effects of liturgical reform, he says there's a demon wanting our spiritual death. He says that's what makes some prohibit Mass in the extraordinary form of the Roman Rite. Guess what he just said? You know who's trying to stop the Latin Mass? He said demons.
Yeah, of course.
That's what Cardinal Seurat just said.
You've said it's that, Jesse.
Demons. Well, I don't have a Roman collar.
I know, but it's so funny. So much
I'm saying the same thing
exactly.
That he's saying,
yep.
But now I got the authority of the prefect for the Congregation of Sacraments. Here's one more thing he says, and this is, I think, the meat of what he's getting at. I suffer so much from seeing the church torn apart and in great confusion. I suffer so much from seeing the gospel and Catholic doctrine disregarded, the Eucharist ignored or profane. I suffer so much from seeing the priests abandoned, discouraged, and witnessing those whose faith has become tepid. Here it is. The decline of faith in the real presence of Jesus Christ is at the heart of the current crisis of the church and its decline, especially in the West. That says it all. That nails it, Terry.
He does. And you know, Jesse, on page 37 in his book, he talks about the need for adoration is the greatest mark of man's nobility. Folks, please, we're talking about Eucharistic adoration all the time here on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Give people homework, Terry.
Yep.
Everybody listening to our network, you need to sign up put up a little paper or make a note in your cell phone. Say, I'm going once a week. That's nothing.
That's right.
Once a week, it's nothing. I'm going once a week to spend an hour with Jesus Christ. That's what you have to do to be part of the audience of VMPR, Virgin Most Powerful.
That's right.
And there's two things.
Rosary
and the
too.
Daily Rosary.
Yep, yep.
Those are the two things we're asking of everybody watching us right now. Weekly, this is minimum stuff, by bare minimum. Weekly Holy Hour, Daily Rosary.
And here's what the Cardinal said about adoration. He says, in order for people to adore God, he said, we must become first adorers. They are called to be constantly in the presence of God. Their life is supposed to become an unceasing, persevering prayer, a permanent liturgy. He said, adoration is a personal act. Are you ready for this? A heart-to-heart conversation with God. Whoa, which we need to learn. He recalls that Moses, who taught the Jewish people to be a nation of adorers, to be childlike in God's presence, and God himself is the one who appointed Aaron as a priest. The later, together with his sons, will carry on the priesthood of God. The Hebrews knew that through this celebration of the Passover, they must preserve the memory of their exodus from Egypt, God's greatest act of love for his people in Israel. He said this, you need to find time for God because they have lost the sense of God. Many people have lost the sense. There is much room left for God in their lives. Nevertheless, here it comes. The primacy of God ought to mean the centrality of God in our lives, our actions and our thoughts. Here he comes. Jesse, he's calling us out. He says, if man forgets God, he ends up celebrating himself. That's exactly what's going on, Jess. He then becomes his own God. And
well, I'm going to give you an example
of
man celebrating themselves.
Yes.
How about Pride Month?
Exactly.
Where people go outside in public and they're dressed half naked and immodest. And they're bragging about being sodomized and sodomizing other people. That's man celebrating themselves. This is what happens in a world without God. You go nuts. You start doing things that are absolutely nutty and absurd. And it's lunacy what we see out there, the things that people are celebrating. Celebrating, abortion. Celebrating radical feminism.
You're right.
And Cardinal Seurat says, for Catholics, our crisis is this.
Yeah.
we're denying or declining our faith in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. But by the way, you know who he's saying? He's saying we bishops and priests, he says, are responsible for the crisis of faith.
And Jesse,
calling out his brother priest.
He's calling him out. And here's
and then for non-Catholics, I would say the takeaway that I get from the article, he's saying that non-Catholics, even Protestants or people of goodwill, they've lost their sense of God. They forgot God. They're forgetting about the primacy of God in general as Americans or as people in the West, or we're indifferent to God. So he says that's a problem that's found amongst the West. And what's happening? You know who hasn't forgotten about God? I criticize them often, and I have valid criticisms about Islam.
Yeah.
But you can't say they've forgotten about God.
Way.
They got God in the very front of their mind. Their notion of God is false. Their theology is warped. The Muhammad was a false prophet. But, this is a religion that doesn't forget about God. And they're growing in leaps and bounds, Terry, as we're killing our babies.
Amen. And the cardinal said that those who act like there's no God, they think that the world were their own private domain. He says God is no longer anything to do with creation that has become human property from which it is necessary to profit. See, euthanasia, it's my body. I want to check out when I want to because I'm my own God. He's calling us out, Jesse, to a radical turn to Jesus Christ. And it's about time someone this high in the church is telling us, turn away from sin and receive the gospel. I mean, that's summary of the whole book. I haven't read everything of it, but he's calling us out and saying we need to turn back to the fundamentals. And what he said about the Eucharist when we come back from the break, and Jesse, you and I talked off the air on this, about when he said that the very fact that the priest is facing you at Mass, it's a distraction for the transcendent. And when we come back, we'll talk what he meant by that, Jess.
It's also a distraction for the priest, they've told me.
Oh, of course it would.
Let's just be honest. Sunday Mass, big parish, summer, people dressing immodestly.
Of course.
And the priest, obviously, if he's oriented in his proper sexuality as a man.
Of course.
Think it's good for him?
No.
To be looking at tight dresses and low tops and tight skirts for an hour? Of course not. They've told me.
Yeah. They've said the same thing to me, Jess. They're honest. Come on. Hey, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what Cardinal Searle has to say about the liturgy. Because you know what? The way you worship is the way you believe. That's an old church teaching. I just want to mention something. Saturday, we're going to be here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Ruben Nava, Eddie Chavez are going to be here speaking with the St. Michael Prayer Group. It's going to be a conference. Just come to the chapel. We have Mass at 9 a.m. They're going to give some power preaching regarding St. Michael, the Archangel. And also, if you'd like to become a monthly donor here at the Virgin Most Powerful, call me, even on my cell phone, 661-972-7872. I love talking to people, and especially those who are praying and sacrificing for the mission of Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be back with more on the Mass with Cardinal Searle.
We have an exciting story for you to listen to, the story of John Pridmore. John Pridmore was a hitman for the gangs in East London.
I met some guys who seemed to have everything that I thought would make you happy. So I started working for these people. So to my shame, I was involved in vicious crime of all sorts.
He collected debts for the gangs. And if people didn't pay their debts, it was his job to kill them.
And as I drove home that night, I thought, what have I become that I could kill someone and not even care?
He was in the elevator on his way up to the 17th floor, and there was a 17-year-old young man in the elevator with him. Suddenly, this young man looked John right in the eye, and he said, "Jesus loves you."
And I said the first prayer I'd ever said. I said, "Up to now, all I've done is take from you, God. Now I want to give."
Within a year, by the grace of God, John was able to get out of the gang and be freed from this road to hell that he had been walking on. Go to Virgin Most Powerful YouTube channel and listen to this story today.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Let's unite our prayers to the heels of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Just real quick, I want to mention that this weekend I'm going to be in Fresno.
Good.
At the Veterans Memorial District, Fresno, California, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm going to be speaking at the Marian Eucharistic Conference, and also I got my Poland trip. You can go on my website to my front page. It's May 13th to the 22nd, 9 days in Poland, the most Catholic country in the world. You're going to be inspired because we're going to visit some of the greatest shrines and saints there, and pray for our Pope, pray for our bishops, Amen. Pray for the USCCB, pray for the Roman Curia, pray for ourselves, pray for the president. I'm going to spend 9 days just immersed in prayer and study with about 50 rock-solid Catholics. Terry, we got somebody who's calling us up.
Tony and El Monte.
Mr. Tony from El Monte.
Come on, brother. You're welcome. You're on the air with Terry and Jesse. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, good morning, Terry. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning, brother.
I just kind of wanted to share some experience that goes along with what Jesse was saying, that we haven't been to the cathedral in years, and we were there this past Sunday to the, I think it was the 10 o'clock Mass, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
And it was horrible the way that some of these ladies dress. I don't know how the bishop, I mean, I've been to some nightclubs where I've seen more modesty than that.
Unbelievable.
What I'm saying. What a comment. And then another thing that happened is that my brother-in-law, you know, like I said, I haven't been there like maybe in 2-3 years. He took his grandkids, two little girls, they're like 4 and 3 years old.
Sure.
And then he sat at like two or three benches from the front of the church. And his one usher came and told him, sir, you need to sit way at the back. We can't have children in the front.
What?
And I'm thinking, hey, yeah, he told him that. He told me he needed to go to the back of the church, way at the back. He told me, you got to stay way at the back. We can't have children here. And then I'm thinking to myself, these people are supposed to be all about welcoming. Where's the welcoming for the families, you know? How do you think that makes us feel? How do you think that would make us feel if you're taking your grandkids to church and they're telling you, hey, kind of telling us, you know, you're not welcome here. Get out, you know?
Good point,
get at the back of the bus. The way they used to make the black people feel like the back of the bus. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, Tony.
I was kind of troubled by it. I just wanted you guys to kind of be aware of that. And I put that on square on the bishop's responsibility because he's not telling these women that they're offending God. And that's a big burden that he's putting on himself. You know, Bishop Gomez, that's his church. That's a cathedral. I mean, it's not like some parish in the archdiocese with a, you know, that just lands on him, in my opinion. You know, I don't know. I just want to share that with you guys.
Well, Tony, thank you. And Tony, do you remember Our Lady of Fatima said, you know, that about immodesty is a serious sin and that it's going to be taking place and we need to have custody of the eyes. And all I can say is what I would do is I would write a letter to the Archbishop saying what you just told us and those words and let him know that, you know, you're offended.
He needs to hear from his flock.
He does. That's what
you're right. I'm going to do that. I appreciate you mentioning that. I hadn't thought about that.
Get it done. And let us know if you get a response.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to do that. Thank you.
Okay, brother.
Yeah, good job, brother.
Yeah, praise God.
You could also email him through the Archdiocese of LA's website and send him a letter. So do it two ways. Email him and then send him a copy of the letter.
Hey, Tony, are you going to be here Saturday, brother? Excuse me, Tony. Are you going to be here for our men's prayer group this Saturday at the chapel?
I can't go this Saturday, Terry, but
no problem.
I'm gonna make it to the spiritual warfare at the St. Christopher's Church.
Good. I'm glad you'll be there. And Tony, go ahead.
I was gonna make a suggestion on that day. If you have a mass, if you do the Latin mass, it'd be great, you know?
It would be awesome. Unfortunately, we're gonna be at a local parish, which we don't have control on the mass there. Well, but
yeah,
at the chapel,
would be good.
We do.
You're right.
You're a good point. Hey, one more quick note. We're recording everything this Saturday. So, Tony, make sure if you're a monthly donor, you get all the recordings for anything that we do at our chapel for free. So
I'm a monthly donor.
Well, then you're a monthly donor. You're going to get, you don't have to come because we're going to record it all and you'll be getting a copy of that. Okay, bro?
Great. Thank
all right,
you.
Tony. Thank Keep you, up Terry. The good work. I like your style.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Good man.
Yep. Good job.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We're talking about an article put out by the National Catholic Register. It says, Cardinal Seurat, it says, the Catholic Church has lost its sense of the sacred. And it takes a lot of sound bites from the book that Terry's promoting.
Oh, big time.
And some one of the other things that he also says in the article, yeah, what's it's called, the people are asking, Terry, in the chat room, give the title.
The Day is Now Far Spent, published by Ignatius Press. You can call them and get that book ordered. You can even do a download on your Kindle. Many of my friends have already done that.
Yeah. Cardinal Seurat says one of the other problems that we're dealing with, he says, the movement which consists of putting God aside, making God a secondary reality, has touched the hearts of priests and bishops. So that's intellectual, and that's also liturgical, that criticism that he's making. Many people have put God aside intellectually. In other words, many, as he says here, he says priests and bishops, he says to them what's more important is psychology, psychiatry, and sociology.
He nailed it.
The South sciences. They've put away divine revelation, the word of God, and theology. So he said they're making that secondary, and they're putting the soft sciences that come from the French Revolution front center. Also putting God aside is liturgical.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? In many parishes, Jesus Christ is no longer the king of the parish. Jesus Christ is somewhere in the side, somewhere in the back, somewhere in another room. And now you have the priest that's directly in the center of the church on the chair, enthroned. Exactly. And so that was never the case for 1,500 years. That's a novelty in the liturgy by the modernists.
And Jesse, Bishop Sheen talked about that same thing at the Eucharistic Congress, or calling him a tin god. But let's ask what he said in the book regarding the liturgy about the priest facing the people. Now, you mentioned before the break the distraction it has for the priest, but generally for the lay people, when we're saying our prayers, the Second Vatican Council indicates that the priest turns around and says, the Lord be with you. Only, in other words, the rubrics are showing that he's not facing you. So I'm of the opinion that based on me reading the documents of Vatican II, that the priest should be facing God with the people. And what happened after the Second Vatican Council, the modernists got in and said, no, we're going to change that. And that's what Abbot Boniface said when I was with him on an interview back in 1992, where he called it liturgical reform. And he was the last person of Vatican II that was breathing, and he told the whole story of how it was hoodwinked and how Vatican II got hijacked. And so if you want to get a recording, it's on our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. But what the Cardinal is saying is we need to turn that back. And Jesse, you know, a couple years ago, he tried to do that on his own authority as the prefect for the liturgy. And unfortunately, Pope Francis said, no, you can't do that, because we were going to do it one Lent. Remember when the announcement came out and he got his hand slapped? And again, he's an obedient soul, but he said this is a cry from his heart to try and help people fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his church. And I just want to give him kudos, because it must take much courage to do what he's doing with this book, because I think he's going to be crucified for doing this, Jess.
Yeah, I think you're right, Terry. And I'll tell you, there's other bishops that are on board. They're saying, hey, you know what?
The church never
said to face the people.
Exactly.
That's something that the experts that wrote these academic journals called Concilium.
Yeah, right, Jess.
They're the ones that started writing, this is the way you interpret Vatican II. This is what you're supposed to do. And the average priest, you know, they get these journals from the diocese. The bishop buys a journal for all their priests so they can continue. It's called continuing education.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the priests received these academic journals from liberal modernists at Vatican II that said, this is the proper interpretation of Sacrosanctum Concilium. So the priests are saying, wow, this guy's a smart guy. This guy was at Vatican II. This guy teaches at the Gregorian Institute. This guy's got all these degrees, you know, from some of the greatest, Oxford, Cambridge. Who am I? I mean, I just went to St. John's Seminary, and he says in my journal, I'm supposed to do this. Okay, I'm going to do it. This is how they usurped what Vatican II actually said. These academic shysters in the Catholic Church called modernist dissenters came up with an academic journal because they said, we're the smart guys. You don't know what you're talking about. You went to St. John's Seminary. Okay, so read this stuff and we will interpret what the Vatican document said because we were there and you weren't there. And so you don't know what we meant because we were there. This is the way they changed the mass.
Jesse, I've met people like that where they've told me, we don't believe the mass is a sacrifice anymore. What? Where did you hear that? Oh, well, this was my formation in Rome. I'm telling you, bro, we are in trouble because the formation many of the priests and bishops have gotten was erroneous. It was false. And Cardinal Seurat is calling them all out right now, and he's going to be in deep trouble to do this. But I want to thank him for it because his book, The Day Is Now Far Spent, from Ignatius Press, read it. It's going to give you a perspective on the crisis in the church that no one else has given to me and to you. And Jesse, one more thing about the Mass. Why are we so big on the Mass? Because the Mass is the greatest prayer we have. And so if we don't get that right, we're losing graces. And I will say this, Jess, this is just my take. There's so many times you go to churches where they are celebrating the Mass with all kinds of abuses and nobody is saying a word. Why? Because nobody knows the difference. And so that's how far it's gone. It reminds me of the 15th century when priests who were going to hear a confession, you had to give them the paperwork to show, here's, Father, you need to repeat these prayers for absolution because they forgot how to do it. We're almost at that point right now. And Cardinal Seurat is helping the church by pointing out that the emperor has no clothes. I'm being honest. We need a reform of the reform. That's my take.
This is why it's so important for us as Catholics to study our faith. Get together with small groups of Catholics once a week and say, let's read this document of the church, that document, you know.
Yep.
Let's read what this pope said and that. And try to read the popes, you know, with all due respect, try to read all the popes that spoke in continuity.
That's right.
With the church's teaching. That would be Pope Benedict and everybody before him. You know, read the posts that speak in continuity with the perennial teachings of the church. That way you're not going to be mixed up at all. And it's important for us to start learning our faith because I'll tell you, Terry, this is the way the Japanese Catholics preserve their faith.
And Jesse, one more thing about interpreting Vatican II with the hermeneutic of continuity. That means you do the hard work, folks. Look up the footnotes, and if something's ambiguous, you interpret it in the light of the continuity of the faith. That's how you survive here now in our church. We've got to pray hard for our bishops, our priests, or the Holy Father. Jesse, I can't let it go, brother. What state should we be living in?
Live in a state of grace. Study your faith, know your faith, live your faith. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. By the way, when you study your faith, that's exactly what happens. If your mind is well formed, you don't want to live in mortal sin. You fear damnation. You fear offending God. So form your conscience, study your faith, be a prayer warrior. Become holy or die trying.
And if it's been longer than a month since confession, yes, I know it's the last 20 seconds. Go to confession, dude. Yeah, I just told you. Now go. And you're going to be helping Holy Mother the Church. May God richly bless you and your family. Persevere in the faith. God love you. We'll be back again tomorrow, same time, same station.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests, for thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.